Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We welcome you to the airwaves of Radio Islam International this Sunday morning. It's just gone about 14 minutes past the hour of 11. So every Sunday morning between the hours of 11 and 12, alhamdulillah, we have a panel discussion that takes place. And in these panel discussions, we have very well-educated ulama, scholars, etc., that come on, take off their free time. And on a Sunday, people are normally busy. It's family time, etc. But alhamdulillah, these scholars take their time off, take their busy time, and they come onto the program. And we have, alhamdulillah, some very interesting discussions that do take place. Now, what is the discussion that we're having today? It's a very, very, very important discussion. Alhamdulillah, there are many seminars with regards to marriage that do take place, and we do encourage the listeners, especially the prospective brides and grooms, but that doesn't limit it only to them, that it is the seminars that takes place. I know the Jamiat Ulamaya in the Lanesha area, they organize the seminars that takes place. I think there's even one scheduled for the 24th of February that will be taking place here in the Lanesha area. You can see the posters up in the masjids to get more details about it. But alhamdulillah, this week again we're discussing how do you take the first step towards marriage. So our guest on the program is Maulana Tahir Ahmad. Let's welcome Maulana onto the program. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khair for taking your time and coming onto the program. Maulana, hope you're keeping well.
Ameen, alhamdulillah, Maulana. Jazakallah for having us today, man.
Alhamdulillah. Our second guest on the program is Maulana Muhammad Benka. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Maulana and Maulana Tahir, good to hear your voice after a long, long time, mashallah. Hope both of you and the listeners are keeping well. Barakallahu feekum for the opportunity.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Through your beautiful du'as, Maulana, alhamdulillah, we are all well. And we hope the same for you as well.
Yes, alhamdulillah, we are keeping well with the great Allah.
Alhamdulillah. So as we discussed in the intro to the program, you know, in this program we're going to try and provide some guidance for boys and girls who are about to get married or those that are looking for partners, etc. So we can try and share with them some directives as how they should go about, you know, what is the approach that they should do, the entire process, try as best as possible. We don't have too much time. We've just got maybe till about 12 o'clock. This panel discussion will go on, and obviously there are a lot of more finer details that need to be tuned in and tuned up when you know one goes through this entire process of finding, because obviously this is not just a partner for a day and a week. This is a partner for life, and in life, you know, we hope that this partnership, this union of marriage will go not just in this world, but it will continue in the gardens of bliss and the gardens of Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all those that are married, keep them happy in their marriages, those that are having problems. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for them to iron out the problems. But let's take the discussion a little bit further now. Maulana Tahir, if you can start with you, Maulana. You know, normally when it comes to marriage, couples are about to get married, then very often you hear about the fairy tales of marriage, the fables that that come about, you know, that creates a certain type of an image with regards to marriage. Now you got a young couple that is getting married and they hope to live, you know, the terms that they use in inverted commas, happily ever after, but they don't realize the challenges that that come in towards maintaining a marriage.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Alhamdulillah, Maulana, a very good question. And we find, alhamdulillah, that when it comes to marriage and this type of, as Maulana said, happily ever after, it is one of the challenges that our youth are facing today. And many a times, we don't say that, you know, it's not impossible, it's something that is very impossible. But there are ways that maybe as a Muslim, as a believer, we can make our marriages into happily ever after. But unfortunately, what has happened today, Maulana, is that we have found that, you know, the media has portrayed this happily ever after in a different light. Mm. And that is where we find that our youngsters are facing the challenge when it comes to marriage, and they say happily ever after. Especially like, for example, if you look at the media has portrayed us that happily ever after is only when you are wearing, maybe, for example, designer brands, and you are driving fancy cars, and you are living in a, you have lots of money, and you are living in a fancy home. So everything is materialistically inclined, you know, inclination towards materials of this world. But Mulana, you know, when it comes to this is one of the great challenges that faces our youth, and it has very negative impact on the minds of the youngsters, mm-hmm. especially when they're going into marriage with this ideology that there has to be something like happily ever after. Because if you look at most of them are watching these movies and these soapies, etc., on television, and they're looking at what is Bollywood and what is Hollywood, and the expectations in marriage is in a similar expectations of what is seen over the media. So and most of the time people don't realize that there's not only this happily ever after to go through in marriage, but there's many ups and downs, there's the challenges of marriage, etc., that a person has to prepare before he goes into the marriage. So what we need to understand when we go into marriage, we should go into this marriage, into this union, because it is a very important union, and it's a commitment, a lifetime commitment that has to be made. So a person goes into the marriage with firstly with the correct intention of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we said, it can happen. This happily ever after can take place if it is done correctly. For example, if a person if an intelligent person is undertaking a journey on a road that he has never traveled before. So when he undertakes this journey, he makes adequate preparations, and not only making the preparations, but he seeks advice, etc. And after all the necessary arrangements that he has made, the last thing maybe he'll do, he'll maybe take a GPS with him so that he can stay on the right road and not get lost, you know. And then if you look at marriage and going into this marriage, into this relationship, into this commitment that we are going to go into now, it is similar to this journey. And it is a journey of a lifetime that has to last an entire lifetime. And when a person goes into this journey, then he will pass different scenes. Sometimes, like a luxury car that is driving on an open freeway, sometimes there will be beautiful scenes, and sometimes there will be unexpected gravel patches that a person will have to pass by. But whilst a person is traveling, then a person must not lose focus on his destination and his real destination and his real goal. So in the end of the day, we say to those people, that those young couples that are intending to go into the marriage, etc., we tell them that a mu'min's destination in marriage is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we should look for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aim for this. This is our real goal in marriage. If you want a happily ever after marriage, then aim for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you want to be transported and you want this journey to go smoothly, then your vehicle of transportation in this should be the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm-hmm. Following the Quran and following the commandments of the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mm-hmm. And inshallah, you will go very smooth in this destination or in this journey of marriage. And lastly, they say if you need the GPS system and to stay on the correct path in this journey of marriage, then we take the advice of the pious ulama and the elders, and that this will keep us inshallah on the straight path. And as long as a couple are in the right vehicle and focus on the destination, and inshallah they will not have any bumpy rides on this journey, and everything will go smoothly, and eventually it will be time for them to depart from one another when Malakul Maut comes to them. So this is, as we say, it's not something that is impossible. It can be possible if it is done in the correct manner. But if we are going to focus only on what the media is portraying to us and thinking that, to expect that in our unrealistic expectations in our marriage, then we find that, you know, Mona, as they say, the coffee shop has to end and everyone has to go back home.
Mm-hmm.
So in the same way, you know, the realistic expectations is that when we follow the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala will give us barakah and blessings in the marriage.
I mean, as Mulana explained very beautifully, that, you know, this concept of happily ever after, well, really and truly happily ever after can only be realized when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is really and truly happy with us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding that is what we have to endeavor for. The ultimate is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we will keep that in mind in our marriages as well, then inshallah our marriages will be much more happier, much more prospective, and much more successful. Mulana Muhammad Saab, if we can carry on with you now. you know, the question that I suppose we need to ask at some time or the other, these questions, some might be a bit hard-hitting, but when it comes to parents in particular, and maybe, you know, the extended relatives, the senior relatives in the family, etc., the uncles, the grandparents, etc., you know, are we really doing enough to prepare the prospective brides, the prospective grooms for marriage?
Yes, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, nahmaduhu wa nasalli ala rasulih al-kareem, amma ba'd. You know, Molana, when we speak to when we speak about marriage, this is one of the greatest challenges that we find. You know, many couples are going through this, and parents are asking this question: that, you know, where are we falling short? You know, where are we falling short? What are we doing that is wrong? That our marriages, the marriages of our children, are not surviving the test of time. We've done everything to the best of our ability, you know, to give our children. But they get married, and then later on we find, you know, that they're not compatible. I dealt with a case not long ago. You know, there was a couple that came to me. They married for barely 3 months. And, you know, the husband tells, he says that, Walana, I am not happy with the wife. I realize that compatible. So the first question is, for what period of time, you know, we... When did you show interest in getting married to her? He says that perhaps about 3 years ago, and we went out and, you know, we spent a lot of time together. I used to go to her home. So I said that you knew her and the family for so many years. You got married to her, and in 3 months, you then realized you're not compatible. Mm-hmm. You know, where are we falling short? You know, what is the problem? And this is a similar case, where similar cases we find in many, many marriages where they get married and the marriage does not last not even a year. And, you know, we're asking the question, so what we would advise, and, you know, perhaps something we could look at is that before our children enter into the institution of nikah, what we need to do as parents is to send them for some sort of premarital counseling. You know, to some scholar, some alim, you know, somebody who deals with marriages and marriage-related issues, let them understand what is the concept of marriage. I always say this, that no two individuals would ever make the perfect match. This attitude of zero defect, this is not possible, this is not practical. You know, there will be situations in the marriage where you will have to compromise. So what we understand, the golden principle is, we need to teach our children that they have to compromise. You know, gone are the days, you know, where the mother, you know, and the father together, they set the child down. Okay, you have marriageable age. You know, you need to get married. And the boy will tell mommy that, you know what, you look for the spouse, you know, who you think would be compatible, who you would be happy with, I would be happy with, would work and be able to gel with the family. Today what happens is that our children come to us, you know, they meet each other either on social media, you know, via Facebook, via Twitter, you know, and various other media forums, and those marriages are not lasting. Those marriages are not lasting. So I think it is important that we, you know, we deal with this. I think from an Islamic perspective, you know, this in no way suggests that, you know what, you know, many youngsters, when they hear this, so does it mean that, you know what, we cannot speak to the girl, you know, we cannot get to know each other better. The problem is everything is done before the nikah. So once they are married, you know, once they get married, then, you know, things are on scale. We take each other for granted. Mm. So, you know, you've had a total compatibility. This is not possible. This is not practical. There will be situations in the marriage where you will have to compromise. And until and unless we go into the marriage, you know, with the correct mindset, you know, then we are living in a false paradise. You know, if we expect, we have certain expectations, you know, and then you get married and you realize, you know what, she's not the person for me. What tends to happen is that you get married, you get divorced down the line, that poor woman is sitting and nobody wants to get married to her. As a man, you can get married, you know, 10 times over. But there are many of our sisters, you know, who got married at a young age with pure, with good intentions, that this boy, you know, he would take good care of me, and the parents in good faith, they give their daughter to that boy, and then they later on realize that this is not the ideal candidate. You know, this poor woman is sitting at home, and unfortunately, this is a topic on its own where this woman is stigmatized. So I think what we need to do is that, you know, when we get our children now, we need to sit them down. We need to go back to the base. Like somebody mentioned to me, I think it was yesterday, he said that, Bonana, the mold is now broken. The mold is broken. So I said, the mold can be broken, but the Sharia would never be broken. We need to start off our marriages on the right footing. We need to go back to the Sunnah, go back to the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is where we find the solution. And whilst the world continues to grapple with this wave of immorality that has been unleashed upon us, and like Maulana mentioned earlier on, you know, by the internet and its likes, and has had a devastating impact on both the fiber of our society and the institution of marriages. And wallahi, we can never doubt that talaq has become the order of the day. We deal with these issues, you know, on a daily basis. So what we are saying, I think as parents, we need to educate our children. So, you know, we need to educate our children and sit them down and let them understand, you know, what is marriage all about. You know, when you go into marriage, there would be ups and downs. There would be certain challenges in marriage. You know, they go into marriage and then later on they realize, you know, that I've got this challenge, I've got that challenge, you know, and, you know, we just walk out of the marriage. We don't make an effort, a concerted effort to make the marriage work. So, you know, we just throw in the towel. And yet again, you know, this is something important, that until we have not exhausted every avenue, you know, possible, you know, we shouldn't just throw in the towel, but make an effort, inshallah, you know, for the marriage to work.
JazakAllah for that, as Mulana said it very beautifully. You know, today we're just giving up very quickly on these marriages, and unfortunately there is the lessons that children are learning from their parents. You know, it is so sad to hear and to see when a young woman, a young man is getting married, and especially in the case of the bride, you know, she's getting married and her father even advises her and tells her that, you know, you're getting married, you have any problems, just phone me and I'll come and fetch you, you know. It's very sad that we have these type of concepts. We don't have the time and we don't have the patience to educate our children with regards to there's going to be these challenges. Yes, marriage is a bed of roses, but every rose, you know, it comes with the thorns on it. There's going to be some difficult days and some tough times, but you're just going to have to go through it through the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Mawlana Tahir, Mawlana Muhammad did speak about, you know, the concept of dating. What are the evils that this whole thing brings about?
Jee, Mawlana, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Mawlana, when you speak about this aspect of dating and going out with a girl before marriage, then we find Mawlana, that there's many evils that go together with it, you know, and especially as Muslims, because we live in such a society, unfortunately, where the concept or this culture that has been created in our society of boyfriend and girlfriend, it has become a culture in our society that is something normal, it's something that has to go about, and something that has to take place. But according to our deen and our teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah, we find that this is completely, totally impermissible. In fact, one of our asatiza used to always mention, and he used to tell us, that the greatest obstacle between a person and his Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an illicit relationship. Because now all the time a person's energy, his time that he has, is all motivated on someone else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, you know, that becomes a great obstacle between him and Allah. And then not only that, we find that the harms of dating, as the Quran mentions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, wa la taqrabu zina, don't even go close to zina. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you look at the words closer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say don't commit the act of zina, but Allah says don't even commit such actions that will eventually lead you to zina. So these actions of dating, etc., will eventually lead a person to the actual action of committing the zina. And then another aspect, another harm or another negative aspect of dating is that it's a great deception of shaitan. We find that shaitan's promise in the Quran Kareem is that Allah says, يَعِدُهُمْ وَيُمَنِّيهِمْ. He gives you false hopes and false aspirations, and especially وَمَا يَعِدُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. And all these aspirations and false hopes is nothing but a great deception. And many a times everything is so rosy, so beautiful at the time when a person is dating, because shaitan knows that you are involved in sin, so he makes everything look appealing to you at that time. And I remember also one of our ustaz also mentioned, he says that one question had come to him once about a couple or a boy and a girl that were dating, and after they had got married about 2-3 months later, so the girl writes a letter to Mufti Saab, and she says that, you know, Mufti Saab, for 7 years this boy had dated me, and every day was a different gift, and every day he made everything so appealing and looked so nice, But now after we are married, it's been 3 months and not one day has given me a gift. Why? Because before marriage, everything, Shaitan makes everything look appealing to you and everything seems to be, everything is going well. But once the marriage takes place, Shaitan goes away because now he knows that you are not committing the sin anymore. And then now a person doesn't do what he normally was doing before that. So this is one of the ill effects of dating. And unfortunately, my Maulana, you find that, you know, many a times nowadays especially, we find that where the boy goes out to the girl or dates the girl for so many years, and then when it's time for him to settle down, then his parents tell him that, you know what, we have found a very nice girl for you. So he carries on his life, gets married to another girl, and this poor girl who he dated for so long, she gets left on one side. Maybe 7-8 years he went out with her, and now there's no one. Because people come to know, and society speaks about what had happened, and then this girl is left in the dark, and this boy carries on living his life. So that's the unfortunate case. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save all of us and protect us. And then from the ulama side also, we find that many ulama have dealt with cases. In fact, one alim was mentioning, he says that dating can actually lead to something that is unthinkable. For example, he says one boy came to him and he spoke to him he came to him privately and he spoke to him confidentially, and he said, Maulana, you know what, I want to tell you something, but it's something I feel very difficult to tell you. My parents are ready for me to get married. They found someone for me to get married. But the only problem is that because of dating and going out, I have contracted the disease of HIV. So now I'm feeling scared to tell my parents. So these things can eventually, because of starting of this habit of dating and this culture of dating and going out with the boys and girls going out, we find that eventually it can really lead to these things. May Allah protect us. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also advised, and he said that addressing the youth, and he said, oh my youth, if you can get married, then if you have the ability, then get married. And if you can't get married, and if you don't have the ability to get married, then alaykum bisiyam, then you should continuously fast and keep continuous fast. So this will curb the desires that are within you, and inshallah, you won't have that urge to do all these aspects and you know, go court the girl and go out with girls, etc. And then also we find that the promise of Allah Ta'ala in the Quran, that if we keep ourselves pure, at-tayyibatu li-tayyibin wa at-tayyibuna li-tayyibat, that if we keep ourselves pure, stay away from all these types of these Western cultures that have been created in our society, then inshallah, we are pure. Allah will keep someone that is pure for us also. When it's time for us to settle down, we will find the pure, and similar to the girls also, we remain pure. Inshallah, one day there will be a pure person on the other side, a pure boy that will be waiting for us. So these are the benefits of staying away from these things, and the harms also of going into these actions of dating, etc. Allah give us all understanding.
I mean, very important. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really and truly grant us, and especially our youth, the understanding of the harms, the evils that this brings about. Now, Maulana Muhammad Ismatair very beautifully explained, you know, the harms, the evils that will take place when this whole Western concept of dating comes about and it leads to a promiscuous society, etc. But now once, you know, you find a couple and they probably have been premarital dating, they've been dating each other for a period of time, months and sometimes even years. If they do go on to get married, the same couple, they do go on to get married, does this have any negative effect on the marriage in any way?
Okay, I think this is another very, very important aspect, is that, we find that, you know, couples, I think we made mention of it earlier on, is that when couples go out dating, and you know, this concept of allowing, you know, the boy to come home and interact, and many a times the boy comes home and he sleeps over. Although they're not married, maybe they're not sleeping in the same room, you know, he comes, he sits on the same table, and this is like my son is my son-in-law. You know, the marriage has not yet taken place, and they're going out together. You know, at times, you know, there are cases where they've gone on vacation together. You know, as parents, how can we allow something like that? You know, the downside is they've done, you know, what is normally done after marriage, they've done it before marriage. So the downside of it is, once they get married, you know, they've done everything, you know, things are stale, And, you know, they, so the husband starts looking elsewhere, the woman is involved, you know, with other men, and we're not just thumb sucking, there are so many cases that we know about, you know, where marriages take place, and later on it surfaces, you know, that not only the boy, you know, at times we tend to attack only the husbands, and, you know, we feel that the women are innocent. You know, you find both the parties, the husband is doing his own thing, the woman is doing her own thing, and, you know, prior to marriage, everything is already done. So this concept of premarital dating, this is not an Islamic concept. This is not what Islam teaches us. You know, if you want to get married, get married. And I think the bottom line is, and there are many, many young couples or individuals, young boys who have come to us, and they said that, Monana, you know, I've identified, you know, with the family, and I think this is the right girl. My father has seen the family. My mother has met her mother. You know, we've taken the proposal. Now, the problem is, when we set the nikah date, what happens, we're setting it 6 months down the line. We're setting it 12 months down the line. Why? The hall is not available. You know, I got some family members who are living in Australia. The only time they're available is 6 months down the line. Wait for them to come. Whilst we are waiting for family members to come, whilst we are waiting for the hall to be available, you know, your son and that man's daughter are going out. They're doing everything. Why? No, we are going to get married. So what's the difference? We'd rather do it now. So I think to circumvent this entire thing, what we need to do is that when you find the ideal spouse for your son or your daughter, get them married, let the nikah take place immediately. Let the nikah take place immediately. I recall last year there was a brother came to me. He said that, Monana, you know, we went, you know, to see this family, and, you know, we met with the family, and there was a Arim that was there. You know, we went to the house, and the Arim suggested that, you know what, once you're, if they are happy, let them make istikhara. So nonetheless, I gave my son 7 nights. He came to me after 5 nights. The girl went to her parents after 5 nights. You know, I've got a positive feeling about it. So he said, the audience from the family contacted me and said that, you know, let's go forward. We are prepared to give our daughter to, you know, to your son. So we said, okay, let's look at about 4 or 5 months down the line. So the audience suggested, why wait 4 or 5 months? Let us have the nikah tomorrow. So he said, subhanAllah, I agreed. I spoke to the wife. She said, no problem, let's have the nikah. So we had a simple nikah in the masjid. This was after Salatul Maghrib. You know, after Isha, we invited the family members home. And the next day, we had a small walima. And alhamdulillah, they are happily married now. SubhanAllah. Mm-hmm. So we find that we need to go back to the basics. We are delaying the marriages too long. And that is one of the fundamental reasons as to why we find this infidelity, premarital dating, is that many of us as parents feel that, you know what, this girl is getting married to my son. You know, that family feels that this boy will be getting married to my daughter. So it's all in order for them to go out together, for him to come home, you know, have meals at home, for her to go out with her, to be mother-in-law. So we as parents are creating this problem. What needs to be encouraged is that we need to expedite the marriage. And this is what the Nabi of Allah advises us. When it comes to marriage, don't delay. When it comes to janazah, don't delay. When the time of salah is set in, don't delay the salah. And this is where we are delaying. Those things that are fundamental and important, you know, when there's a deal on the table, you don't say leave it for next month. What do we say? If I don't sign the deal now, I might lose. I will not make the money. I will not make the profit. But when it comes to deen and sharia, this is where we delay, we procrastinate, and then we are waiting for this one to that one. And that one, you know, if we look at janazas today, we are waiting for people to fly from other countries and other towns. As a result, you know, we are delaying the entire process. When it comes to nikah, we are doing exactly the same thing. We are waiting for this one to come and that one to come. You don't have to have an elaborate function, have a simple function. You know, carry out the sunnah. This is what the hadith teaches us. That function, that wedding in which the least expenses are incurred, you'll find the most amount of barakah. We find today there are so many marriages that take place. Literally millions of rands, not thousands, millions of rands are spent, and that marriage has not survived the test of time. Within 6 months, within 1 year, you know, the marriage is breaking up. And we need to blame the parents need to take the blame to a great extent, because our son, our daughter wants to get married. We are delaying it. In fact, there was a case that we dealt with about 2 years back, and you know, the boy and the girl were in university. They met and they decided they want to get married. They went to the parents. The parents had agreed. The boy had 3 years to finish his studies. The girl had 4 years to finish the studies. The family get together. So let us wait for them to finish. nikah performed. And so we suggested get them married, just have the nikah. You know, whatever function you want to have, you can have it after 10 years or 20 years or 30 years. You can wait for everyone to come down, but get the marriage performed, get the nikah performed as soon as possible.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us to enact on that very beautiful advice that Mawlana has given. Really, we have to, as soon as possible. This is the teachings, the Mubarak and blessed teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It doesn't make sense that we're waiting for one relative to come from one part of the world and for the wedding dress to get made and for the cook to be ready and available for that weekend. And we're going against the sunnah and just waiting for these small little things. As Mawlana said, the hadith teaches us so beautifully that keep the marriage simple and let it take place immediately. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pour the oceans of barakat and blessings into that marriage. Ma'atayir, if we can take the discussion now into a bit of a slightly different angle. You know, the question is, when is a person ready to get married? You know, do you consider the level of maturity of a person, etc.?
Ji, Mawlana, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Definitely, when it comes to marriage, Mawlana, a person has to be of a certain level of maturity. And as Mawlana Muhammad alluded to, and he said, mentioned that we shouldn't wait when we find that a boy or girl are ready to get married. There shouldn't be any waiting period, or immediately when they are ready to get married. As Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also mentioned, that if you have the ability to get married, then we should get married, because waiting only creates more problems and creates more negative aspects in the marriage. But what we say when a person maturity, when a person has deen and brings deen in his life, then we find that maturity and responsibility also come into a person. And this is a very important aspect, especially in our marriage. Before a person gets married, he has to be mature enough to understand his responsibility of marriage. Because responsibility of marriage is not only about seeing to the needs, etc., of the home and the family, but it's also to see to the deen needs of the individual. For example, Allah says in the Quran al-Kareem that, oh, those who have iman, protect yourselves and your families from the fire of Jahannam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that every one of you are responsible for your flock, and you as a husband in the home, you have to be of that certain mature level and that responsible level to be responsible enough to look after those that are under you. So as we say, if you look at the Western concept of maturity, well, then it's a completely different concept and idea of what is maturity, because they are only referring to the physical maturity of a person. When a person reaches 18 years old, then we know that he has a certain amount of freedom. Now, what he couldn't do before that, he can do now after 18 years old. And then when a person reaches 21 years old and he receives the key, now he has more freedom. So this is a different concept of freedom, of maturity. But when we speak about maturity in Islam as a Muslim, as a believer, then we speak about physical maturity, we speak about intellectual maturity, we speak about psychological maturity, we speak about spiritual maturity, and all this, Mawlana, comes with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look at the examples in the life of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then although they were young at age, but they were all already mature. The Sahaba ikram, 16 years old, 17 years old, 18 years old, they could lead huge armies in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the maturity that Allah ta'ala had given them. So I feel that when a person has these types of, when he brings the deen of Allah in his life, inshallah, then automatically we will find that he will become responsible enough to actually get married, and he will be mature enough to be married also, because the deen of Allah ta'ala, the deen of Allah ta'ala, following the Quran, following the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, performing of his five times daily salah, will make him mature enough to, inshallah, be married and look after his spouse in that marriage. And not only that, Mawlana, we also find that with maturity, there will be understanding in a marriage. There will be, he will understand the responsibility of marriage. And they say very easy to remember is the ABC of marriage. One is the appreciation of one another, and then try to be better than the next person in fulfilling the rights of one another. And then there has to be the C of in the ABC, which is compromise in the marriage. When a person is mature enough and a person has reached that level of responsibility, then inshallah he will be responsible also in the marriage. May Allah give us all the understanding, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen. Very beautifully said, Mawlana. Muhammad, as Maulana has spoken very extensively with regards to the maturity that we need to consider, you know, it's not just a physical maturity, but there's a lot of other aspects that go with it, you know, psychological, spiritual, etc. The bottom line is, what is the yardstick of them measuring whether they really are mature enough to get married? You know, some people today, unfortunately, you find not just married, but they've got children already and they're still not mature enough. So how do you gauge this?
Okay, I think this is another very, very important aspect, just to tie up where Maulana had left over, Maulana Tahir. You know, with regards to our children, how mature they are with regards to marriage, like Maulana mentioned, it's not only the, you know, the physical aspects, but I think every father, every mother knows his children, knows her children better than anyone else. So, and here again, this goes back to where I had started off the discussion. You know, this starts off at home, where from a young age, we need to groom our children. We find that many parents, they do not even discuss marriage with their children. The child is 20, the son is 22 years of age, you know, he's ready to get married, and the parents haven't even broached the topic of marriage once with the child. You know, so the child, you know, does not know how to deal with situations. When it comes to maturity, I think one of the challenges that are found in marriage is that, you know, many of our youth, you know, they deal with situations, you know, indifferently. And like we mentioned, it's vitally important that our children go for some sort of counseling before marriage, you know, so they can understand the ups and downs. You will find that there will be hurdles, obstacles. You know, there will be some sort of turbulence in that marriage. So, you know, I think it is vitally important, you know, that maturity plays a vital role. You know, many of our children are getting married at a young age. You know, many of them are not even mature. Physically, they're not even mature. Some of them mature at a young age, but that should not be the criteria. You know, and many, many parents today, you know, they do not get their children married. The son is 24 years, the daughter is 19 years of age, but one of my daughter is not mature enough. You know, she's not mature enough, you know, to get married. So, you know, what is the barometer? What is the gauge? You know, what is that level by virtue of which? What is the criteria? I think we as parents, you know, we need to instill these morals and these values into our children, you know, from a young age. Once the child, you know, is nearing 17, 18, perhaps 19 years of age, you know, for boys, maybe girls a little earlier, we need to start, I think, grooming our children. We need to start, you know, channeling the pattern of thought in a certain direction, so that sense of maturity, you know, settles in that, you know, in the child, you know, in our sons and our daughters. And I think, like it, you know, perhaps one may be wondering that we are blaming the parents, but unfortunately, it's a sad reality. We need to take the blame because we have not done our duty. Like we always say, when it comes to our youth, we feel it's the responsibility of the Maulana, the Appa, and the Madrasa to teach my children, you know, what is the deen of Allah. It's the duty of the teacher in the school, you know, to teach my children, my child academically. So what is our role? You know, what role are we playing as parents? So when our children, you know, when things are not working out, when we realize it's a lack of maturity in the marriage, then we are blaming this one, we're blaming that one, but it starts off at home. So I think the gauge is, I think every father, every mother would understand, you know, how mature my child is, you know, whether my child is ready for marriage. You know, when, like we say, when we have missed the boat, then we realize, I should have done this, I should have done that. So, you know, we need to start at the, you know, when our children are, you know, entering the age where they can comprehend, they can understand. And I think very important to develop a sense of maturity in our children is that give them some added responsibilities. Because our children are growing up in the lap of luxury. They don't know, you know, what are responsibilities. You know, they don't understand what is the value of money because, you know, it's free flow at home. Whatever I want, dad gives it to me. Whatever I need, mom gives it to me. And our children are growing up, you know, being very immature and going into marriage. And later on, they realize that, you know what, they see a different world. The girl sees a different world. You know, she goes into the marital home. She doesn't know how to cook. You know, the boy goes into the marital home. He cannot manage his finances. So these are issues that we need to look up. Look at. You know, it's a holistic. Islam is a way of life. And when we study, of course, time does not permit us to go into the details. Mm-hmm. You know, the multitudes and amazing examples that we have, you know, in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we study the seerah of our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, you know, how she was groomed. You know, she got married to the Nabi of Allah at a young age. But look at the maturity then, you know, perhaps our girls at the age of 20 will not match that. So we need to study the seerah. We need to go back to the basics and study the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the great sahabiyat, you know, the Azwaj al-Mutahharat and this great woman, you know, who had become our reference for guidance and navigation. But unfortunately today, our reference and guidance is that celebrity, you know, that, that woman who you are watching in some soapie, and our children are being molded in that direction. So we need to change the focus. The focus, like Maulana mentioned early on as well, we need to go back to the basics, go back to the seerah, go back to the sunnah, inshallah.
Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us. Ma Tahir and Ma Muhammad, unfortunately, you know, we've run out of time. There's still a lot of discussions. This discussion can actually go on for quite a few more hours. But, you know, we've got to wrap up the discussion very soon. I think there's still a batch of ads that we still need to take before the end of the hour. So, Ma Tahir Sahib, if you could just conclude with your concluding remarks with regards to this topic.
Alhamdulillah. Finally, what we say in regards to the aspect of marriage is that first is that each one of us that are going into this relationship of marriage, we should be firstly responsible and inshallah understand our responsibility not only to our husbands and our partners but also to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, we just say, Maulana, that, you know, once someone offered some advice to a young girl that was getting married, and they mentioned that when you go into the home, then into your husband's home, you should remember that you are the queen of the home, and you are the leader of that home, and you are the one that can coordinate everything in that home. So when it is time to serve meals, then make sure those meals are not served at the time of salah. Make sure that the salah, everyone's salah is performed with jamaat, and thereafter the meals are served. When everyone's salah is performed with jamaat, especially the males and the females, read their salah at home. And if you are occupied with some work at home, and it is the time for azan, etc., then we should leave all our work aside, and let us reply to the words of the azan and perform our salah immediately. Because if we continue doing that work, and while the azan is going, then we will find that there will be no barakah in that, and shaitan will lengthen the time for us. That what work we could have done in 5 minutes, now it will take us maybe an hour or 2 hours, and eventually we will delay our salah. So first priority should be that in our lives is our salah 5 times a day. And inshallah, also at home, we should try and take out some time to make the tilawat of the Qur'an Kareem. And in that home, where there is tilawat of Qur'an, then inshallah, Allah's blessings and Allah's barakah descends in that home. And when in that home, where there is no tilawat of Qur'an, we find that the shaitan ravages at home and the barakah is taken away from that house. So these last two advices that for those couples that are going to take, inshallah, tie the knot and get married, inshallah, may Allah ta'ala bless them and keep them happy in the unions, inshallah, and keep them with understanding. And just two advices in the end, that is salah and tilawat of the Quran. Allah give us all understanding, inshallah.
I mean, jazakallah, Maulana, jazakallah for those very pertinent advices. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you in abundance.
I mean, jazakallah.
Khair. Muhammad Sahib, jazakallah for your time as well, your concluding remarks.
Okay, barakallahu feek. Just one point I would like to speak about. Something very important is that when our children want to get married, let us not impose on our children to get married, you know, in a certain family. And unfortunately, it's a sad reality where we insist on our children getting married to somebody who comes from the same village that I come from. You know, if the children are not too happy and we insist that, you know what, you are displeasing your parents. You know, I want you to get married. You know, she comes from the same gram. She comes from the same village. We need to forget about these village wars that happen. You know, we are living in, you know, time has evolved. Give our children, let them feel they would be living with that woman. That woman would be living with that man. They must be happy with one another. We need to advise them, but the choice should be theirs end of the day. Many a times we find, the boy comes home, that Maulana, I'm interested in the girl from that family. No, she comes from a different village. Look for someone else. That should not be the case. You know, they speak a different language, so what? So what? They are reciters of the kalima. They are Muslim. That should not be the criteria. You know, if they come from a different village or they speak a different language, I think we need to move past that and, you know, give our children their opinion. Many children today complain that, you know, I want to get married, but my father insists that the criteria is, number one, she must speak the same language as us. You want her to speak the same language. My father, you don't even speak that, whether it's Urdu or Memel or Gujarati or whatever have you, but you want your son to get married in that particular. So these cultural issues, we need to attach importance, you know, to what Islam has given us. Islam has given us the fundamentals. Go back to the basics. And our message to you is, respected listeners, go back to the Sunnah. Study the Sirah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we need to educate our children, you know, once they're at that age, at marriageable age, encourage them. And once you have identified, you know, the right spouse for, you know, for your son or your daughter, get them married as soon as possible and do not delay them.
JazakAllah Mawlana for your time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you in abundance.
Barakallahu feek Mawlana. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, so that brings us to the end of this very interesting, very important discussion. I don't really know if we can even call this the tip of the iceberg. This was just some introductory points that you probably mentioned in here, but the discussion has to be go on much, much longer. And, you know, there are, as we said right in the beginning, there are many marriage seminars, workshops, etc. that do take place. Let us try and attend these workshops. Inshallah, there's a lot for us to benefit through the experience of our learned scholars, etc. For the children, always take the advices of the scholars, take the advices of your parents, and for the parents as well, let us advise our children in the correct way. Let us teach them, let us grow them up in the correct way, give them the correct upbringing, give them the correct upbringing that has been taught to us by the, you know, through the Quran and Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and in that, inshallah, there will be much success that our children and we ourselves can experience in our marriages. JazakAllah for listening into the program. With that, we conclude today's program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.